So you'll notice some stuff on your table, and it's pretty obvious that today we're going to be talking about prayer. Okay, so these resources called declarative prayer, this was something that we did like 3 years ago. It started in Braveheart, and then it kind of poured into Sunday morning. It started in our old facility on Quincy, and so we're going to be talking about prayer today, and I wanted everybody to have this resource to take home. And so there's a booklet on your table. There's one example of the book on your table. There's on the table, and like as you came in, that big round table in the front, there's like a bunch of them. So if you don't have one or if you need another one and there's not one left on your table, grab one on your way out. The card itself is actually, it gives you access to like the digital version of the physical booklet. So whatever your liking is, if you like having the paper, grab the paper. If you like to do it, you know, with your phone, grab this card. It gives you access to that. It's also in the app. If you go to the Braveheart section of the media and you look for the Declarative Prayer logo, all of these resources are on the app as well. And so as we kind of move through this morning, you're going to kind of see why this is so important. But we want you to have this resource that when you leave here today, you have kind of something to go on. And I'll tell you guys, I know maybe you don't believe me, but we use this all the time. Like we have prayer meetings all the time throughout this church. And I know that the ones that I go to, we use this almost every week. And so it's a great tool, it's a great resource, and it's going to help you apply what we're going to be talking about today to your everyday life. So, like I mentioned, we don't do anything around here without prayer. We are powerless without prayer. If we aren't praying, if we aren't practicing this concept of prayer and declarative prayer, we're going to be operating in our own strength. And I'll warn you against that. And not just me, Jesus will warn you against that. Don't operate in your own strength. So we have to have prayer active in our life to be able to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and to actually do what we're called to do on this earth. Okay? So that's why this is so important. One of the foundational elements of this very church is prayer. This church was birthed in and through prayer. And it has been one of these sustaining elements or sustaining forces of this church. I don't know how to exactly quantify it, but I can tell you that we would not be here where we are today if it was not for prayer. This church may not even still exist today if it was not for the prayers of the people of this church. It is that important and that paramount that we have prayer in our life. And so we've been talking about it as a pastoral staff, and like I said, it's not that prayer does not exist in this church, but what God is calling us to in this season is he's saying we must become a house of prayer. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. We must become a house of prayer. So that's the title of my message this morning, is becoming a house of prayer. And so you can take this very personally, and you should. It should start personally. Your house, your home should become a house of prayer. And to the degree that the people of this church and the homes that make up this church, to the degree that we become a people of prayer, is the degree that we will become a house of prayer. Because what is the church? It's the people, right? We are the church. And so if we do not have more and more people rise up to a place of having this concept of strong declarative prayer active in their lives, we're never going to become the house of prayer that God's calling us to be. God's calling us to go deeper in our prayer and expand our reach of prayer outward. That's what he's calling to us to do in this season. And so I'm gonna for just a couple minutes here, I'm gonna stick to my notes, because if I don't, I'm going to get real preachy here, and we're never going to get through this. So, God's primary way to accomplish his will on the earth is through the power of the prayers of his people. That's how he accomplishes his will on this earth. I know that's a bold statement. And God is God and he can do what he wants. That's true. He is sovereign. But in his sovereignty, he chose to work through us. He chose to work through humans. That's the very essence of the scripture. You see it over and over and over and over and over. God looking for men, God looking for people to work in and work through. And he works through the prayers of those people. We may never fully understand the true power of prayer, but we know that scripture has a lot to tell us of its power and its importance. We know that prayer is all throughout scripture and that prayer was one of the most important things to Jesus himself. If you read through the New Testament, you find it pretty frequently. Jesus does what? He goes off to a quiet place, away from everything. To what? Y'all are really quiet this morning. Let's try that again. He goes off to a quiet place, away from everyone else. And what does he do?
Prays.
And we know how powerful it was and how impactful it was because of the reaction of the disciples. The disciples start to catch on to this. And to my knowledge, it's the only recorded thing that the disciples say, Jesus, teach us this. It's not recorded that they ask him to teach them how to do miracles or cast out demons or anything else. They say, teach us to pray. So they caught on to that, to the reality that everything, all the power that was flowing out of the life of Jesus, all these miracles, it started with something called prayer. That's where it began. We learned about this at the beginning of the year in our discipleship sermon series called Follow Me. And we defined that we said that disciples are what? People who pray and obey. That's what disciples do. And so we talk a lot about obedience, and it's absolutely true, but you don't have anything to obey until you pray. That's where we hear the voice of the Lord. That's where we get our instruction. That's where we get what we need to do to obey. And so if we're called to make disciples, then we've got to have that first part of the equation, right? Pray and obey. While there is such a thing as silent prayer, and it's absolutely valid, okay? I don't have anything against quote-unquote silent prayer. I do silent prayer a lot. There's some circumstances where you just can't pray out loud, right? If you're in a meeting or if you're, you know, in an environment where that's, you just can't do that, I get silent prayer. And it even says in the scriptures, I think it's in Psalms 139, that God hears our thoughts, right? So there is a reality of silent prayer, but that's not really what we're going to be talking about today. The way that Jesus teaches us to pray in the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer is very declarative, and it's spoken out loud. I want you to catch that. It's declarative in nature, and it's spoken out loud. Now, you may ask, why is it important? Why does it matter? If God hears my thoughts, why does it even matter if I speak out my prayers? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. So for a moment, before we really dive into this concept of prayer, I want to talk about the power of our words. There's tremendous creative power and just that lies in this little thing right here, your tongue. Tremendous power. I want to put a slide up on the screen. We're going to walk through a few concepts here. Genesis chapter 1, God creates the universe with what? The word. There's at least a dozen times where it writes out in the scripture, and God said, let there be light. And God said this, and he called it this, and he said this, and he called it that, right? And so he models this picture of the declarative spoken word and the creative power that lies within it. And we know that we have that same power inside of us because he said, after he gets done creating the whole world, he says, and let us make man in our image. Speaking of the Trinity, speaking in that moment. And so the very image of God, or the very nature of God, is one that speaks things into existence. Amen? And we learn later, and we get to the point later where Jesus comes onto the scene, and now we have the Holy Spirit. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that created the universe, lives inside of you and lives inside of me through the Holy Spirit. And so there's power in our words. Proverbs 18:21 says it this way, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we're going to show you in a minute, I'm going to show you a video that's pretty phenomenal that actually proves that scientifically. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. This is the passage of scripture where Paul is saying that our very faith and our salvation comes through two things, belief and what? Confession. If you believe in your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. Belief isn't enough. I know that sounds almost like I'm a heretic when I say that, but it says it in the scripture. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. The way in is the way on. So our declarative prayers of faith are no different. Our mouth has to begin to speak what our heart believes. That's where the power of prayer comes in. Matthew chapter 21. I love this chapter. I could talk the rest of the time on this chapter. This is a summary of what happens. So the disciples are walking along, and Jesus sees something wrong with this fig tree, and he curses it. And it dies. And the disciples are amazed. They're like, how did this happen? They're probably asking, first of all, why did this happen? But they ask, how does this happen? And Jesus says this, truly I say to you, if you have faith, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but even if you, what, say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. He didn't say, if you think about that mountain moving, it will be cast out in the sea. He said, and if you say to the mountain, be cast out in the sea, it will be removed. What mountains are in your life right now? Are you speaking to it? What are you speaking to, right? How are you speaking to it? So we know that our words are powerful, but I want you to see this short little video. I'm going to set up the scene a little bit, and it kind of describes it in the video, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So in the 90s, there was a Japanese scientist that began conducting experiments. I don't know why he did this, but I'm glad he did. He began conducting experiments on the effect of words on water. So what he would do is he would perform all these experiments where he would flash freeze water. And as it was freezing, he would introduce different elements to the water. So spoken word, music, written word, all these different elements. And he began recording the results. And so as it froze, it would take on different shapes. Like, right, you know, when water freezes, it turns to ice. And if you look at it in a microscope, you see kind of like what? Like snowflake-looking things, right? They're crystals. And so I want you to watch this video and see what happens.
Dr. Imato's laboratory does research on water samples which are subjected to various forms of outside influence. The impressions made upon the water are recorded by swiftly freezing it in a cryogenic chamber. Somebody said, thank you to this water. Excuse me. You disgust me. Dr. Emoto has conducted another interesting experiment. He placed rice into three glass beakers and covered it with water. And then every day for a month, he said, thank you to one beaker. You're an idiot to the second. And the third one, he completely ignored. After 1 month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment, giving off a strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second beaker turned black. And the rice that was ignored began to rot. Dr. Emoto thinks that this experiment provides an important lesson, especially with regard to how we treat children. We should take care of them, give them attention, and converse with them. Indifference does the greatest harm. Emoto Masaru's numerous experiments aimed at finding the word that cleanses water most powerfully have shown that it is not just one word, but a combination of two. Love and gratitude.
Isn't that amazing? How powerful are our words? Did you notice that when they spoke words that weren't even inherently evil, right? You disgust me. It completely altered the molecular structure of the water. And it was like chaotic. It took on weird colors. It didn't even have defined shape. It was just chaos. And so if our words, just a simple word, right? Like love, like gratitude, like thank you, or excuse me, or you disgust me, or I hate you. If simple phrases and words have the power to alter the molecular structure of water, how much more would declaring God's truth and God's word over our lives have an effect? Think about it in this context. Going back to science, how much of our bodies and how much of our world is water? I mean, like, most of it. Over half. If every word that we're speaking is changing the very structure of the water that makes up life, how powerful are our words? Makes you think about, what am I speaking? And that's just simple words. That's not even getting into quote-unquote prayer. So the big idea today is that your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. I want you to write that down, and I want you to say it with me. Your prayers matter. Let's make it personal. My prayers matter. Let's say it again. My prayers matter. I could have put a lot of quotes from a lot of different people on the board about prayer. I found this one particularly good. It's from E.M. Bounds. He was a 19th century theologian, and he wrote primarily on the power of prayer. And I just want you to read this with me. You can read it silently, but I'll read it out loud. It says, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, the mightier the forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints, which that's us, are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries out his great work upon the earth. Listen to this last part. God conditions the very life and prosperity of his cause on prayer. That means God puts a lot into prayer. He invests a lot into prayer. He puts a lot of stake on our prayers. Pretty important. So we know that scripturally, prayer is powerful. James 5:16 says it this way, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We know that. We know that's the God's honest biblical truth. It's right there in black and white. But something begins to happen. Something begins to happen where, and I've fallen to this myself, sometimes something happens where we begin to doubt that this is actually true for me, that this is actually true for you. So we begin to analyze that scripture and we say, well, maybe I'm not righteous. Well, yeah, you are. Because of Jesus, you're righteous. Get that settled. If you need to know more about that, go to the next Freedom of Christ. We'll talk all about it. But just settle it in your heart right now that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that goes out of the window. You are righteous. If you have Jesus, if he's your Lord and Savior, you are righteous. Okay, well then go to the next part, the fervent prayer. Well, maybe my prayers aren't fervent enough, and that might be reality. I don't know. But we begin to get into this cycle of, well, maybe this isn't the truth for me. I don't know. Maybe my prayers don't really matter. And that causes us to stop praying. That causes us to stop persisting in prayer. When we encounter situations where we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed, nothing happens. And then we go, well, what do I do now? Anybody ever been there? I've been there. Look, I'm not sure why sometimes God seems to answer prayers right there in the moment that we pray. And sometimes we've prayed for days or weeks or months or years or even decades and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. I don't know why that is. But I do know this, that your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. And we're going to show you really quickly here in the next 15 minutes exactly what that looks like. Okay? But I will say this. I want to go into one biblical example that I really love where you're going to see in one passage, God answers a simple prayer very quickly, and then it goes into this process of praying and nothing happening, and praying and nothing happening, and praying and nothing happening. All right, so this is going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to just summarize it because it's a long passage. But at the very beginning of 1 Kings 18, Elijah, who is one of the like big name prophets in the Bible, right? He gets this word from the Lord. And in the land that they were in, it hadn't rained for something like 3 years. So there was a famine in the land, hadn't rained. I mean, some of us, we know the effects of drought, right? So imagine zero rain, like no drops, nothing for 3 years. Pretty bad situation. So at the beginning of this chapter, Elijah gets a direct word from the Lord, and he says to Elijah, go in front of Ahab, which was a ruler of the land at that time. Go in front of Ahab, and when you do, I will cause rain to come upon the earth. All right? So he gets a word from the Lord. Great, it's going to rain. Awesome. In the middle of that, you see the whole passage that Josh talked about a few weeks ago, where he's confronting the rebellion of the people, okay, and their worship of other gods, the prophets of Baal. And so in this time, basically he gets all this stuff together, and this is where you see this prayer where Elijah prays a simple prayer, and he calls down fire from heaven to consume a sacrifice. Right? The prophets of Baal couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. But he says, my God can. And he says, I mean, it's a really simple prayer. It's like two sentences. And he prays, and it happens. Boom. Fire comes down, consumes the sacrifice. Everybody's like, oh, my God. Like, literally, my God. You know, like, they're like repenting and turning to the Lord. And it's awesome. It's amazing. The very next little passage in that chapter is when Elijah gets the freedom at that point to go actually pray for real rain, not like fire rain, because the land didn't need fire, it needed rain, like water. And so he begins to declare what God had already said. God said, it's going to rain, all right? So I'm going to pray. So he's at the base of a mountain, and he's praying, and he gets done praying, and he sends his servant boy up to the mountain to go see if it looks like it's going to rain. Nothing. So this servant boy comes up, goes up, he looks at, not a cloud in the sky. Okay, I'm going to go back down the mountain. I don't know how tall the mountain was, but this boy's getting a workout. Goes back down the mountain. Elijah, sorry, there's nothing. Okay, pray again. Boy goes up the mountain. Nope. Goes back down the mountain. This happens 7 times. Okay, 7 times. On the 7th time, the little boy, the servant boy, goes up the mountain, and he sees a cloud in the distance about the size of a man's hand, which is not much rain, right, if any. We know that, right? But he gets that picture. He sees that. It's the first cloud they've seen. He runs back down the mountain. He says, Elijah, I can only imagine he's kind of winded. He's a little distraught. He's gone up and down a mountain 7 times by this time, so he's tired. He gets down there and he's, well, Elijah, I don't know if this is what you wanted to hear, but there's a tiny little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, great, that's it. It's going to rain. He doesn't pray anymore. And then all of a sudden, the rain starts pouring, right? So why did I say that? Why did I give that example? Well, even like one of the most premier prophets of all time dealt with the same issues you're dealing with. Sometimes the answer comes right there. We pray and it just happens. Boom. The power of God falls. fire comes down from heaven. Well, I don't know if literally. If that's happened to you, I'd love to hear about it. But the answer comes, right? Boom. But other times, and maybe even more of the time, we pray. And we go look. Nothing. We pray. And we go look. Nothing. We pray. We go look. Nothing. But I want you to catch this. Elijah never lost his faith. He never doubted. He never lost his belief. Or at least he didn't say that he did. So I want you to catch something. When we begin to mix our declarative prayer with our faith, we're going to see results. And this is the key that I've found to keep on praying and keep on persisting. I'll put it up on the board. This is what Elijah did. When what I see doesn't match up with what God said, I don't look to what I see. I always go back to what God said. I want to say that again. When what I see, when the circumstances of my life, when the situations of my life, when it does not line up with what God said, I don't look to what I see. Why? Because faith is invisible. It is the evidence of things hoped for, and the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, right? So I don't look to what I see. I always go back to what God said. What did God say to Elijah? I'm going to send rain. So he didn't look to the sky. Notice that he didn't even go. He sent somebody else to look. That may be a key for you too. Maybe you don't look. If you can't look and see something that's a discrepancy and still remain keep your faith, send somebody else to look and give you a report. Has anything changed? Nope. All right, we're going to keep on praying. This is what God said. That's the essence of declarative prayer. And that's the essence of a term that maybe you've heard before, but maybe you were scared of it, called intercessory prayer. Anybody ever heard that term, intercessory prayer? It sounds really hyper-spiritual, right? Like, let's call upon the intercessors to pray. The Lord God would, right? Like, yes, I get that it sounds very super hyper-spiritual that maybe only like certain people can do. But it's not. It's not, right? We've essentially been talking about intercessory prayer this whole time. Because that's what intercessory prayer is. When we are confronted with an issue or a circumstance in life, we listen and we receive the word of the Lord on that subject, right? Something comes our way, we hear God and we receive the word of the Lord. It may be a scripture, right? It may be the spoken word of God that you hear in a prayer time, but we receive the word of the Lord on that subject or on that circumstance. We then agree with what God says through the declarative prayer, which that's what this booklet talks about. And then we keep on going back and declaring what God said. We stand on His word. And when it doesn't look like what God said, we go back and repeat the process. What did God say? I don't care about what I'm seeing right now. What did God say? We persevere in prayer until we see the breakthrough. That's how simple it can be. That's how simple intercessory prayer and declarative prayer can be. But it does take a little persistence. It does take a little endurance. I have a few minutes left. I want to talk to you about a couple of examples. Like I said, I don't know why sometimes God just has these instant answers and why sometimes it just requires more of an intercessory type prayer. I don't know. Right? I've been fortunate enough my whole life to be in environments where the Holy Spirit moves powerfully. And I've seen lots of answers, like instant answers to prayer, where there's just the manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes and it's just powerful, right? Like I remember one of the first times this happened to me specifically. I mean, I was around it a lot, but it's different to like see it or hear about it and then actually like it happens when you pray. I was in high school and I was praying for this person, and they were dealing with like back issues and hip issues and stuff, and they knew that it was because one of their legs was significantly shorter. I'm talking like 3 or 4 inches shorter than the other. Like it was bad. Like, you may have seen people that have, like, different, like, heights of shoes and, like, prescription, right? You're like, this is what this person was dealing with. And so one of my mentors in the faith was there, and he was kind of helping me learn how to pray and work miracles and all that kind of stuff. Not that we did it, but it was the Holy Spirit that did it. And he said, all right, ask them to take off their shoes. And first of all, I was like, I don't want to do that. That's weird. But I did it, and he said, all right, hold their feet like this and just start speaking to that leg and tell it to grow. Ask the Holy Spirit to let this leg grow. And I said, okay, that sounds a little strange too, but I'll do it. So I just started praying, and I don't remember what I said exactly. That doesn't really matter. But the Holy Spirit came, and literally I felt my arm start to move, and the leg grew out right there, and it was awesome. Right, so I don't know why sometimes we pray for people and stuff like that happens, and then all of a sudden, like, for years I don't see anything like that. Right, I don't know. But I do know that it's no less of a miracle that of when you pray for years and don't see anything, and then all of a sudden you see a breakthrough. I started praying for my wife when I was like 10 years old. I was in no shape to marry at that point. Right? But I started praying for her. My parents taught me this. Start praying for your wife. Right? Start praying for your wife. And so I remember praying, even as a little kid, God, I just pray that I would know when I see her. Right? I just pray all sorts of prayers like that. I pray that I would know when I see her. Right? So I prayed for years and years and years, and it led me to a point where I didn't even date anybody for about 8 years. Starting in eighth grade on, I was like, God just laid it on my heart. You don't know your wife yet, so there's no need in dating, right? Okay, cool, I'll do that. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and eventually I started writing down those prayers in a journal when I got to college, and I filled up an entire journal, and there would be times where I'd be praying. I didn't know who she was, but I'd be praying for my wife, and God would give me a scripture, or God would give me a specific word, I felt like she was going through a circumstance, and I would write that out, and it would feel weird because I don't even know who this girl is, but I feel like I'm getting specific things, and I'm praying, writing those things out. I gave that journal to my wife on my wedding night. I'll tell you, it's been one of the biggest blessings to our marriage. And she's told me that I dated every entry, that she could remember the moment that she was going through on that day or that season of her life, and what I was praying matched up exactly with what she was going through. That knit us together even before we were married. Like, I was praying for her right there. Another example, our cute little girl, Karis Renee. I don't have a picture. I should have put a picture on the board. Cutest baby you've ever seen. And I'm not just saying that. We hear that a lot, okay? Guys, we got married in 2011, and she wasn't born until 2018. 7 years. And it's not that we didn't want children, and there was all sorts of circumstances that played into it. But we wanted children right from the get-go. But it just didn't happen. And we didn't know if it ever would happen. Like, we didn't know if it ever come to pass. But we knew that God said we would be parents. We knew that. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And we had other people pray, and we had even more people pray. And then we were all in agreement. Nothing happened for 7 years until God finally made a way for that to happen. Amen. That's just two small examples. But guys, this stuff works. And so I want to, as we close, I have a couple of things. There's three words that help me kind of conceptualize intercessory prayer. And we've talked about this process already. Intersect, okay? So God's going to put you in the intersection of circumstances, the intersection of people. This happens all the time, right? You come across a situation that we know that that's not the will of God, right? Like somebody's sick or somebody's going through a circumstance or whatever, right? God puts us in the intersection of people, of circumstances, of situations. Maybe he put somebody on your heart and you haven't thought about them for a long time, right? That's God placing you in the intersection of someone's situation. And then we intervene. How do we intervene? Through the declarative prayers of God's word. We intervene spiritually through our prayers. Sometimes it becomes more than that, but a lot of times it's just simply us praying. And finally, eventually, we intercept. Anybody ever watch football? What's one of the most momentum-swinging things in sports? The interception, baby. The enemy's making advances down the field, right? And we're praying, and we're trying to stop the advance of the enemy, but he's getting close to the goal line, right? And it's like, it's all hope is lost almost, and we keep on praying, and we keep on intervening, and man, we're acting in prayer, but the enemy keeps on advancing, and then all of a sudden, we see the breakthrough. Boom, interception, and the momentum goes the other way. How many could use that in your life? How many of you could see that happening in your life? Amen? Eventually, you will see the breakthrough. You will see the momentum shift. But you can't stop praying. You can't stop declaring. You can't stop speaking God's word. What happens on the football field if the defense just stops playing defense? Right? The other team may advance and they may get real close, but you can't stop pressing. You can't stop pushing. You can't stop blocking. You can't stop what? Tackling. You can't stop doing all those things. That's what we do in our prayer. I'm telling you, if the men in this room could grab a hold of this, we wouldn't just change Plainview. We could change the world for Christ. Jesus had 12. There's more than 12 in this room. I'm gonna end with this, and then we'll get into questions. This is one of my favorite quotes. Our friend Miles Sweeney introduced us to this quote. Lilias Trotter, she was a missionary to Algeria in the 1800s. And I'm just going to read what she wrote about prayer. And it's a story. A bang and a crash and a cloud of dust that when it cleared showed a picture of ruin. One of the pillars that supported the gallery of our old Arab house had fallen down into the court and lay shattered on the pavement, carrying with it a block of masonry and a shower of bricks. Down below, alongside of us, an Algerian baker had set up shop 6 or 7 years ago. This means that for hours every night, two men had swung on the huge seesaw, which in some mysterious way needs their bread. And every blow, backwards and forwards, had vibrated through our house. And now, at last, the result was seen in the shattering of a brick wall that had looked as if it would last as long as the world. The town architect came and confirmed this as the probable cause of the collapse. But God had meanwhile given me a wonderful object lesson concerning prayer. As the Apostle Paul says, the invisible things being understood by the things that are made. For as there is a vibrating power going on down in the darkness and dust of this world that can make itself visible and startling results in the upper air and sunlight of the invisible world. Ephesians says, mighty through God on the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Each prayer beat down here vibrates up to the very throne of God and does its work through that throne on the principalities and powers around us. Just as each one of the repeated throbs from below told on the structure of our house, though it was only the last one that produced the visible effect. We can never tell which prayer will liberate the answer, but we can tell that each one will do its work. Amen? So what do we know? Your prayers matter. We will never know which prayer will get us the breakthrough, but we do know that each one does its work. Amen? I want to pray. There's going to be some questions on the board. I want you to discuss these briefly, but more than anything, I want you guys to begin practicing this. I want you to get to that last one as quickly as you can. What breakthrough do you need in your life that you can begin praying over? Have the guys around you and around on your table agree with you in prayer. And don't ever lose hope, okay? God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. God, we know that prayer matters, that you place a lot of emphasis on prayer. And so, God, we choose to believe that our prayers matter today. I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would strengthen our confidence and our outlook on prayer, and that as we leave this place today, we would never forget that our prayers matter. that we would continually, without cease, without fail, pray your will. Your kingdom come and your will be done here on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.